How do you start this? Oh, there.
Not a thing. Yep.
Okay. So we'll discuss tonight a little in Yoni, Masha Varuach Umorid HaGeshem, or perhaps HaGoshem, we'll have to see. And the same Talamutter. So we know there's two places in Davening we mention rain. We mention Masha Varuach, and we mention the same Talamutter. Interesting, the first time we find a prayer for rain, actually, if we go back to Bereshis, and Rashi spelled it out, Kosia Chasodeh, the Chazal Rashi quotes, it didn't start raining until after Adam was created. Why? Because God wanted someone who would appreciate the rain. He wanted someone to pray for rain and someone there to have a Karas HaTov for the rain. In fact, interesting, I saw a piece from Rav Tzadik and the Rav had something similar, that we know that the Avos instituted Tfilas. Avram instituted Shacharis, Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Myra. And the Pasuk they learn out by Yitzchak is called Suach Basodeh. And there's a whole discussion in Chazal about Brachas Davav, how Mincha is the most opportune time to daven, because we learn out Eliyahu HaNavi and Har Carmel, Aneni Hashem Aneni, he was answered during Mincha time. And there's a discussion among the Mefarshim, what's so special about Mincha. Some point out a more mystical answer, that somehow during Mincha time it's like the Zman HaDin, and therefore it's much harder to be over Rachamim during the Zman Din. You got to work harder, you got to daven harder. And usually you start off with the level playing field, so as long as you have a 51%, you make it. But Mincha, you need a little bit more because you're starting behind the eight ball, so to speak, whatever it means exactly, but it's Zman HaDin and you're trying to Ma'ora Rachamim. Or from a more pragmatic point of view is that it's not always true during the winter times. A lot of people find davening Shacharis difficult also. In theory, you could always wake up earlier for Shacharis. You could always daven before work. And in theory, you could always daven Ma'ariv after work. So the trick is Mincha, in between the meanings, in between everything, copying Mincha, that's always the challenge. Therefore, that's some say from a pragmatic point of view, Mincha is the time of answering, because it's the hardest. So either from a hardest time practically or from a harder time Kabbalistically, Mincha is the hardest. So the Rav explained, and it's based on a Zohar, there's a Rav Tzedakah Cohen, that they say Adam HaRishon was the first one to daven Mincha. Whether it was the same Mincha as Yitzchak's, I don't know. Was Yitzchak's the same as ours? I don't know either. I mean, I know it's probably not. But whatever Adam davened, he davened during Mincha time, and he was davening for it to rain. And the concept of davening at Mincha time, it's a hard time, and you have to go against the tide. That's why they explain by when Yigal was taken captive, so Avram had to go with, they say, with 318 men. So it's a question in Rashi, was it 318 young men or was it Eliezer? But what's the significance of Shin Yud Ches is the 318 men? So that's what they write in the Chasidish Sfarim, that they have a concept, Yeyesh Shalom Midas, that's a halacha concept, but they say Yeyesh Shalom Midas. In other words, you got to be crazy. You shouldn't, Chasid never give up, there's always hope. So they read a Yeyesh and Shalom Midas. Someone's insane if they actually have Yeyesh. In other words, you never give up. But the point being is, Yeyesh, I believe, Gematria, I think I didn't count it, but they say Gematria is so with the Siach, they say, so the Siach was 318, Yeyesh is 317, mm-hmm. And therefore they say, so to speak, and Mincha with Siach HaSodeh is referring to Mincha, that what's the concept of not giving up hope? It's turning to God. No matter how difficult the situation is recognizing that God's there, and really Mincha actually goes back earlier than Yitzchak. It ties into the first time they davened, they were praying for water. In fact, we find this, so we found also, we had a couple of weeks ago when Avimelech we know Nanavi Melech, the one who was the Malki Tzedek, who was the Kohen, so they say, so after the war, he blessed Avram and then he blessed God. So the Chazal tell us he lost his kahuna. He also gave, I mean, Avram a Kohen, that's a separate issue. But he lost his kahuna. Why did he lose his kahuna? Because they say first he thanked the Bas of Adam, he thanked Avram first, and then he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the post can learn out from here, Halacha L'maisa. It comes up at weddings or any simcha, that to ensure that many times the people make a l'chaim, a toast, and afterwards they make a shahakun nevivaro, and then they drink it. They say that's exactly the mistake that Malki Tzedek made. That first you have to say, so first you have to recognize God, and then Adam. So one in the Baal Batim thought, I make a shahakun yebidvaro, I'll talk about the person, then I'll drink. So in theory, you make a shahako, you drink, first you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shahakun yebidvaro, and then you go on with the toast. So either way, so that's what Adam, recognizing...
Has anybody ever done that?
Make the bracha first and then make the toast.
Drink, right. And then make a toast?
If they do it, I haven't seen anyone do it publicly, like meaning they could make a shahako. I've seen many people do it, and then they just drink. So then, assuming they already made a shahako beforehand, and therefore it's not in violation. But you're right, I've never seen anyone actually get up to teach the halacha. Shahako niyabidvaro. Okay, now let's talk about the chasen or the bar mitzvah boy or whatever the toast is. Right. So that's what the Rav and Rav Tzadok point out, the connection between Tziach HaSadeh and Lasuach HaSadeh. And tefillah is always the hardest time, and that's why it's Hanini Hashem Hanini. So we'll discuss a little bit about the concept of rain. So in fact, the Gemara tells us, Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim Betchias Hamesim. We mention Mashav Aruach in the bracha of Machaye Hamesim. And what is the bracha of rain doing or in the bracha of Tchias Hamesim, of resurrecting the dead? So we know, Chazal tell us, there are three things called nimsru l'shliach. Three things that wasn't given over to a shliach. So we had some exceptions to the rule, but in fundamentally, rain, childbirth, and tchias hamesim. So therefore, the Chazal say that basically, what is without rain? Rain keeps all the crops and food alive. Without rain, it's basically God is machaya hamesim by making it rain, or else we wouldn't have rain. We wouldn't be able to eat. We'd have a famine. And therefore, that both, so to speak, tchias hamesim and childbirth is also, as well as the Bali Mursa like to say, people have it all wrong. That, if you read in the newspaper about, a tchias hamesim article, someone resurrected the dead, it'll be front pages, Newsweek, Time, they'll be running the article for a week. Imagine running the headlines, baby born today, But Bali Musa say it's a bigger nes that a child is born than Tchias HaMesim, because at least Tchias HaMesim, the body's there, you just have to resurrect it. When it comes to childbirth, it's even a greater nes. So all of them have to do with living, childbirth, rain, and Tchias HaMesim. In fact, that's what this interesting Dasa Kenim or Bali Tosis points out, that we have many tzaddikim in Jewish history, But two are singled out for being a tzaddik. Noach a tzaddik, or B, as the Medrash says, he started off ish tzaddik, but ended up ish adama, that's for another time. And we know Yosef a tzaddik. Noach and Yosef are mentioned in tzaddik. In fact, I was learning with Noah last night, so actually his name is Noach Yosef. I said, now you know why. I don't know if your parents know why, but this is the reason why you would name that. So what do the two have in common? So the Dasa Kenim Bali Tosis points out that what do they have in common? That they both rebuilt the world, so to speak. That Noah, after the flood, the whole world was destroyed. He came out and he rebuilt the world with Noah and his family. And Yosef, he was his foresight, the chachma, he was able to put aside food. He knew when the famine was coming. So both Yosef and Noah are two people who sustain the whole world. So the question is, so how do we know, what's the connection between sustaining the whole world? It's a great thing, but how do you know you get the label tzaddik, but for sustaining the whole world? So we say it three times a day in davening. Poseach eshadecha umaspil l'chol chayratun. God, you sustain the whole world. Tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav. God, you're a tzadik. So the Das HaKadim Baruch Hu says so too here. But so we see those three, all three of them, rain, trias, and mason birds, all have to do with wife, and that's why it's very fitting to be put into that bracha. So Mashav Aruach is in the bracha of Gvuras Kushamim, and when that's why it's called Gvuras Kushamim, because why Gvuras Kushamim? Because that's one of the things rain it gives life. I think there's a Vilna Gaon on it that they quote that so the rain signifies that even among the, I don't know, maybe during his time, or I don't know if it's still true today, but what they call the name of the Gra, that during those times, even the philosophers were moda, they said the sun and the moon, the stars, that's teva. But raining makes no sense. That's lamala miderech teva. So therefore, in the Gvuras Kushamim, you're putting the bracha of Gvuras Kushamim and Tchiyas Amazin, and you're being nicker that this is a tremendous nace from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that it's raining. Even that, I don't know if they consider rain not derech hatev anymore, but at least that's what they quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon. So either way, that's Mashav Aruach in the bracha of Gvuras Kushamim. And we know V'sein Tal Matar we won't find until Baruch Aleinu in the middle section. So we know there are three. So why are they in two separate sections? Why don't we say them together? So we know there are three sections to Shemona Esrei. There's the 365 days a year, 354 days, 383 is the leap year. As many days in your calendar, every day of the year, the first three brachas and the last three brachas are always the same. The first three are Shevach, and the last three are Hodah, thank you. The middle ones change. In a week, we make bakashas. On Yantiv, we talk about Shabbos, Yantiv, whatever. That's how the Kedushas Hayom. So that's why we don't have Tal Matar on Shabbos, because we don't have the bakasha section. So Mashiv Aruach Amorid Hagashem, we're just praising God for the ability, for the power to give rain. We're not actually asking Him for rain yet, so therefore, it's in the Shevach. We're praising God. You have the winds go, and you have the ability to cause rain. That we put in the Shevach section, but without asking for rain until the same Talo Mutter, and that's in the Bakasha section. So, in fact, it's an interesting discussion. The Gemara in Tainus. When does one begin saying Mashiv Haruach Omerid Hagashem? We know the halacha. We start saying Mashiv Aruach Morid Hagashem Musaf of Shmini Atzeres. Depending whether you daven in a Svardi shul or an Ashkenaz shul, the nafkamina would be whether you say it in Musaf of Yisraelin Shmoneh Esrei. We make the bracha on rain afterwards, during right before the Chazaras Hashatz. We have the Tfilas Geshem. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what about the silent Tfilah in Musaf? So the meaning among Ashkenaz is the Gabbai, whoever, someone makes a hachraza, we say Mashiv Aruach Morid Hagashem, and we say it even in the silent Shmoneh Esrei. The meaning among Svardim is that you wait for Mincha. And it's practically speaking, some bring down, because we don't say Morid Atal, or the strict minhag Ashkenaz is not to. Some do, as Tosis points out, the Tainus. It's not a good idea to say it all year round. This way, you're safe. You never have to go back, because if you said Morid Atal, but either way, so we don't say anything all during the time in the summer. So now, when it comes for rain, we can say Mashiv Aruach Umorid Hageshem. So therefore, we make an announcement, but it's inappropriate. The Sfarim are going to get up. Don't say Morid Atal anymore. So therefore, they don't want to come off kind of like with a negative announcement. So therefore, they wait until Mincha time. But that's just pragmatics. The Rav. I saw a piece in the Hare Kedem. I actually found this. I knew I had a piece on Tal Matar in right before the Chanukah piece. But here, in his second volume, it's not his, it's Rav Shurkin writing. He was someone who learned by the Rav Soloveitchik. And in Shir, he wrote the Hare Kedem. So I found this in the back of like the second edition that's snuck in the middle of nowhere. I just saw Mashiv Aruach. I just took a quick look at it before. So he brings down that there's a, you know, there's a, he quotes the Gemara in Titus. When do we begin saying Masha Varuach Amorei Gashem? So we begin Shmini Atzeres. But there's one opinion who says you begin saying it Yontev Rishon Shochag. You know, we don't want the rain, etc. Sukkah, Siman Kola. But one opinion says you begin saying it Yom Rishon. Right? You begin the first day of Sukkahs. Why? Because Gamalei Milulav. He learned it out from the Dalet Minim. That just like the Dalet Minim, the four species, they're all dependent on water. So too, and without water they can't grow, etc. So too, we should be, and he points out that lulav is basically like a reed soy for mayim. You're basically asking God by shaking the lulav, it's showing we need the water, we need all of that. So he wants to point, mashav haruach is kind of like a reed soy for mayim, and therefore you should begin the same time as lulav, that's the same time as we shake the dalet minim. That should be the same time we should start saying Mashiach. That's his opinion. We don't pass in that way. The opinion in the Gemara, I'm not sure if they give a, if it's a Chamim or...
So Mashiach Baruch is in the first section, which is of praise.
What?
I'm asking the question. Mashiach Baruch is in the first section.
The Shevach and Mashiach, yeah. Right. Mashiach Baruch is in the, you know, the second brach of Mechayim Esim, right?
But I don't understand why it's in the beginning bit, because we say it so that we do get rain. So it's asking God for something, so it should be in the middle bit.
So we'll see. What in Mashiv Aruach, in other words, we're not actually asking for rain yet. In fact, that's over there. Rashi, you go on. You want to?
We're
praising God on the ability that He can. On the ability that he can give rain. We're not actually asking for rain yet.
No, because that's what we start saying it straight after Yontzov, so that we do get rain now.
Well, I'll touch on this in a minute. What I'm saying is, but that's what they point out, but Rashi over there in Tainus quotes, that's the reason why, even according to us who say, Mashiv Baruch Mor HaGashem on Shmini Atzeres, we still begin to say it before Talo Matar. Talo Matar, as we'll see in Israel, let's say, they already started, Zayim Mar Cheshvan. The question is, why don't we start saying, Mashav Aruach Amorei Ragashem, the same time as the same Talo Matar? It's like the conclusion, we conclude the same time, we say it right until Pesach, we don't stop separately. So the question the Mefarshim has, why do we begin Mashav Aruach? We know whichever opinion you're going to take, the first day of Sukkot, even the last day, So Rashi over there quotes in Tainus, because before we ask for rain, before we make a bakasha, we want to have a rita maya, and we discuss before we come out and so to speak and ask God for the rain. We first want to praise Him on the ability for rain. But I'll get to your question in a second. So actually, they point out that why don't we start saying the same Talo Matar immediately? Right after Sukkot, you know, when, you know, we can't say it at Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah because we don't say Talo Matar, we don't have a bakasha. But right after Yontif, why don't we begin saying the same Talo Matar right away? So that's the Gemara over there in Tainus, that I think it's Rabbi Gamliel. So actually there's different opinions. One opinion in the Gemara is you start on Gimel Mar Cheshvan, but we accept the opinion of Zayin Mar Cheshvan. I think it's Rabbi Gamliel's opinion. The question is, why do we wait to Zayim Mar Cheshvan? The Gemara wants to know. So Rabbi Gamliel says, because what's going to happen after Yontov is over? We know we have a mitzvah on Yontov, Shalosh Regalim Bashana, three times a year. There's a mitzvah for all the Jews to go to the Beis HaMikdash, etc. So he says, what's going to happen? They're all going to be in the Beis HaMikdash and they have to get home. It's going to start pouring rain on them, the horses and buggies and the whole works. So therefore, we don't want them to get rained upon and poured upon. So therefore, they figured out that by the Nahar Pras, the exact place they figured out Chazal is the longest distance to go. It takes 2 weeks, 15 days, whatever it is. And therefore, they waited to Zayim Mar Cheshvan to get the Ola Rego people a chance to go home. So the point is, the question is, like, what do you mean? So So some point out, so Bizman Hazeh, that we don't have Ola Rego, so then maybe we should start saying Misalim Talo Mutter right away. Mm-hmm. So other reasons given in the Gemara also, that you don't want it to rain because all the fruit's going to get, even the fruit on the ground or on the trees, it'll become moldy and ruined. So many Rishonim say, but you know, they don't make a distinction between. First, the Ran writes anyway. He says even la'achar korban, even today, even though there's no obligation to be ola regel, but there's still an inyan to be ola regel. And therefore, even though there's not a chiyuv to go, but nevertheless, people do go. And therefore, for those people, we're waiting. But they point out, so that's a major machlokas we've shown him. You have the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush versus like the Ritva and the Ramban. Whether la'achar ha-churban, this still applies. So Rovi showed him, say, it's a low plug, it doesn't make a difference. Even la'achar ha-churban, that was the date set. Zayim ar-cheshvan is the rainy season, that's when we start. And the Ran and the Ramban and the Ritva disagree and say, no, there was only a pragmatic reason, Master from the Gemara. You don't want people to get wet. But if not for the whole regular, you really should start saying it right away. So even though we paskin Zayim ar-cheshvan like the Rov Rishonim, the post can point out something interesting. La'halacha, we don't reject the Ramban and the Ritva completely. What do I mean? We don't reject them completely. We don't start saying it's a Zayim ar-cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, so we do reject it. No. What happens if one in Ta'a, if one made a mistake in Eretz Yisrael, and you said you inserted the same Talo Matar into Yishmona Esrei after Sukkot, but before Zayim ar-cheshvan? So would you have to repeat the Shemona Esrei? So if you do it during the time of the summer, so the Gemara, you know, says you have to. So what about here? So the many posts can say, based on the Ramban and Ritva, that we can rely on them b'di'evid, since it's not really a simen kola for the rain. In other words, what they point out that they ask is, what about, how come we don't have distinction at the end of Yontif, like before Pesach? Why don't we say 15 days or 14 days before Pesach, stop saying we're saying Talo Matar, and let the people come back? Why don't we say that? How come we're not concerned about the people getting wet and getting soaked on? So that's what the post can really point out. Does it make sense that for probably wasn't the role of Klal Yisrael, that for some people, for let's say a minority of Klal Yisrael who have to get back, we don't want to get rain on, we need rain, but everyone else should suffer. Rov Klal Yisrael shouldn't get the rain they need because these people are going to get wet. It doesn't fit into proportion. So they point out, no, there's a big difference. They said the difference is the time period between after Sukkot until Zayim ar-cheshvan, it's an in-between stage. So the Gemara says, if it rains during the time of the summer, that's a simen klola. So if you said mashiv, if you said vital sein talo matar, and you asked it for rain when it's a simen klola, then you have to repeat davening. But really, the time period in between Sukkot and Zayim ar-cheshvan, that's a neutral. It's not a simen klola. We're getting ready for the rain, but it's not the time of rain. That's what they point out. That's the difference. We don't stop 15 days before because that's the zman of rain still. The zman of rain, we want it from Zayim ar-cheshvan to Pesach. So we're not going to, because some people might get wet coming back, that's not enough that we're concerned about people getting wet. It's a more fundamental point is it the zman of rain? If the zman of rain, we're not going to worry about a couple hundred thousand people walking back. We need the rain, but sorry, we're going to suffer. That doesn't make any sense. They point out the time up until Pesach is a simon of rain. It's a sign of rain. So therefore, you cannot ask for rain. Some people could go back, head to Jerusalem for Ola Rego. But over here, this is an in-between stage. It's not a simen kola, because that's not the rainy season, but the rainy season hasn't begun yet, so those time in between Sukkot and Zayim ar-cheshvan, therefore we wait for them. If it was actually the Zaman of rain, we won't wait for them. That's why that's what the Ramban and Ritva point out. That's why L'Halacha, if one in Eretz Yisrael inserted V'sein Talo Matar in between Motzai Sukkot and Zayim ar-cheshvan, you wouldn't have to go back. Not everyone agrees to it, but that's what many posts can say because of this reason that really, b'di'evid, you know, and plus for the fact it's a similar question we have in Chutz Laaretz. We'll get into, in Chutz Laaretz we have a strange time. It's, well, now we call it December 4th, but it's really 60 days after the equinox, and it goes into the whole issue of the calendar. There used to be Julius Caesar made the first calendar, and then Pope Gregory changed it. We used the Gregorian calendar. And the bottom line, I think he had his own cheshbonus about Easter or some other holidays. I think the day was, it was November 4th, and instead of it being November 5th, they moved it to November 15th. So imagine all those dental appointments you had on November 10th, 11th, what would happen to all those people that year? But 10 days were taken off of the calendar. Like, what happened? So, and he did it for his own cheshbonis, for his holidays. In fact, I think the Beis Yosef actually brings down when he talks about, in Hebrew, right, it's November, because really then, in theory, it wasn't December 4th or 5th. It would have been 10 days, you know, the calendar was, we lost 10 days, so really it would have been like 10 days before. But we have, that's a, you know, that's the one of the few halachas that go after the solar calendar. But that's how we get December 4th or 5th. But really, it could have been a day in November. But that
he's just correcting. He was correcting for inaccuracies.
Right, but
because the Julian calendar rounded off the numbers, so all he did was go back and say, "Well, if we had done it accurately, this would be the day."
Right, you're saying he made up. He's trying to make up, or he's just saying.
According to the Julian calendar, was 365 and a quarter days per year.
Right, but was he saying from now on, but he wasn't making up, well, he was just saying from now on we're going to do it right, or was he saying...
First of all, let's go back. From year zero till now, right. We're off by 11 days, let's correct it. And then for the future, he created the leap years.
Right, so he moved the 11 days...
He took off the leap year on the millennium. Right. 2000 wasn't
the leap year. He made a calendar that will stay in sync. Yeah, but the reason he moved the 11 days was just to make up for the past.
Right, so that is a discussion in the postkin to which day really should be the day of like when we should say. Well, my minig is December 4th or 5th, but the Beis Yosef already discusses in terms of you know, maybe it should have been sometime in November. But either way, it was six. It was always 60 days after. It was whatever that time.
Was it 60 days after?
That has to do with Bavel. That was the time 60 days after Tekufas Tishrei. That was the rainy. That was the time we needed rain in Bavel, and therefore that was the time in those areas. So that was the, that's what the Rush worked very hard on it. The Tshuvas HaRush says it doesn't make any sense today. That who cares what happened in Bavel? We don't live in Bavel, and he was in Spain. Like, why are we saying? Why are we saying the same Talamutter by what happened in Bavel? In Bavel was because that was the rainy season. It's not the rainy season. Our rainy season, we have a rainy season all year round. Maybe we should always be, you know, if we always want rain. But whatever the time period is, there's no reason to wait anymore to at least go with Eretz Yisrael, go with Zayim Mar Cheshvan. The Rush worked very hard to get it to change. Darach HaShochan writes, no one listened to the Rush, so they're not going to listen to me either, so I'm not going to bother. But really, what the Rush is saying makes a lot of sense. And therefore, based on this Rush, it's a similar concept. Some people discuss why do you say you don't go back? If let's say you either don't insert the right thing or you insert the wrong one, it's because if you can ask it, if it's a Siman Kola for rain, and you ask for rain, so you have to repeat it. But in this case, even before December, we're happy it's raining, you know, in Canada, America. So therefore, those post-skim who want to make the same thing and say perhaps in America or those places in North America, maybe you wouldn't have to go back if you started it. But you know, the mice of the post can say, there's a, you know, if Shlomo Zalman, but in Eretz Yisrael, if Shlomo Zalman goes with the Psak, I believe that if you between Sukkot and Zayim HaKeshvan, you wouldn't go back. Some want to claim the Chazanish disagrees, but based on the Rush, it makes a lot of sense. But the Rush for they even say he wrote his tshuva on Chol HaMoed. That's how he normally didn't write on Chol HaMoed. That's a separate shir, ksiva on Chol HaMoed. The Rush normally didn't, but he felt it was so important, he wrote this tshuva on Chol HaMoed, maybe to get the point across, which maybe they got the point, either they disagree with him, or either way, the Rush makes, it's very compelling logically, it makes no sense why we begin,
Is it so obvious that if it's a Siman Klola, then you have to go back? I mean, normally you go back because you weren't Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei. You asked for the wrong thing, so you asked for a Siman Klola.
No, the question
is... Going back helped that. It's too late. You did it.
No, and you say, what's the question? Say it again.
Forgot Yalla V'Yavo, so whichever way, right? There's two ways to learn it. But right. The bottom line is you weren't Yotze.
You forgot Yalla V'Yavo, you have to go back. Yeah,
because you weren't Yotze Shemoneh Esrei, right? Here, you said Shemoneh Esrei, you asked for a bad thing. You asked for a Siman Klala, something which is a Siman Klala.
You're saying it was a Siman Klala? You're saying you're in the case where it was.
You said at the time when it wouldn't be a Siman Klala, so you asked for a Siman Klala. So now, first of all,
how do you undo it?
Yeah, well, you're not Yotze Shemoneh Esrei. Secondly, even if you... How do you undo it? Exactly.
Nothing.
So by saying it a second time, that corrects the first time?
No, but I'm saying... No, but meaning... No, you did a Siman Klala, hence you put something inappropriate in the Shemoneh Esrei, and that messed up your Shemoneh Esrei, and you have to say it over again, not because...
You put something inappropriate in that nullifies your entire Shemoneh Esrei?
Yeah, well, that's what we'll get into, but that's the... You know, we'll get into what is the nature of Mashiv Aruach in the Shemoneh Esrei. Is it a Chiyav Askara? But that's what... You go back because halachically, you know, but in general, if you put something inappropriate in your davening, you could be a hefsik or under depending. So asking... Because asking for rain, that was part of the takana, whether it's Mashiv Aruach, Tal or Matar.
I mean, Mashiv Aruach, I can understand maybe, because you're supposed to do Shavach, and you didn't do the proper Shavach. But then, in a bakashas, you have the same bracha, the same talamater. How does that mess up?
Yeah, well, see, no. So when we get into the machlokas with Chaim, with Svi Pesach Frank on talamater, and I'll discuss Mashiv Aruach depending on how you learn Mashiv Aruach. That's all. I'll get into it right now. That was the Rav's piece on this in the Mashiv Aruach. So first he clears the shaila. You know, is Mashiv Aruach? Is that this the chi of haskara of this, like a shevach, you know, with this, it's external to the Shemoneh Esrei, but during this rainy time period they put it in, or no, even though it's only seasonal, but the time is when it's in there, it's part and parcel. So he quotes this, Rabbi Lezer about you begin Mashiv Aruach HaMoreid HaGashem on the first day of Sukkot, and he compares it to Lul of the Dalaminim. And therefore, just like the Dalaminim need the rain, the world can't be Miskayim without the rain. So too, Mashiv Aruach, you begin the same time as you start shaking the Dalaminim. Then over there, he quotes Rashi and Tainis that points out that we do Mashiv Aruach first. Why don't we do them at the same time? So he quotes the Rashi that since we're Mashiv Aruach is like a Ritzoy for Mayim, so you always have to have, before you get actually asking for rain, whether it's asking for kind of like a matir or permission, you need some type of ritzoy hamayim. So therefore, we do Mashiv Aruach first, and then we ask for the same talamater later. And even if you hold the way we do, it's Shmini Atzeres, we don't do talamater anyway until Zayin Mar Cheshvan Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav wants to say if you say it's a special chiyav haskara having to do with the ritzoy hamayim. The Rav wants to bring a raya from this shita that we see that it's not part and parcel of the Shemoneh Esrei. It's a separate chi of haskara, the plugging in order to do with water. In fact, he ties it into the question of what is Mashiv Aruach doing and like what's the context. So that ties into the whole Mashiv Aruach HaMoreid HaGeshem or Mashiv Aruach HaMoreid HaGashem. Because in fact, so most Siddurim, I think, have Mashiv Aruach HaMoreid HaGeshem. But now, if you notice, the new art scrolls say B'yesh Omrim in the parentheses, Morid HaGeshem. So it's interesting. First they asked the Rav, they said, I think it was Shneir Lyman asked the Rav, what was the minig in Brisk? You know, what did they say? So I think he said, Mashiv Aruach HaMoreid HaGeshem. And they asked Rav Aaron Salvage, he said, no, the meaning in Brisk was Mashiv Aruach HaMoreid HaGashem, so we don't know. But so Rav Mordechai Tengler claims, Rav Moshe Tengler's son, Rav Moshe's grandson, he claims credit for the art scroll edition of putting Moreid HaGashem. I can't confirm it's in there, I can't confirm it's because of him. But what he claims is, he called up art scroll, whoever art scroll is, Mr. Art Scroll, and he said, We know the minig is most people say Moreid HaGeshem, but Rav Moshe Shita was to say Moreid HaGeshem, and Rav Moshe is the Posek Hador, so at least recognize his Shita, even if you're not going to write it in the Siddur, at least quote, put him in a little parenthesis on bottom. So he claims that's why, because in the old arts, well, they don't even, they just have, I looked at the old one, I just saw Mori Nageshe, but the new ones, they do have that. So whether it's from him or not, so what's the issue, the Rav says, whether it's Mashiv Aruach or Morid HaGeshem, Mashiv Aruach or Morid HaGeshem. So he points out it's depending on if it's part of the Nusach HaBracha, it becomes part and parcel. So it's another praise. It's one among many praises. It's part of the Shabbat section. It becomes part and part. So therefore you could say Morid HaGeshem. But if it's just a separate phrase independently, it's just the chi of haskara, you're plugging in. So we know in grammar the geshem turns to gashem, like the classical cases, it's gefen, we call it. But we know when we make a bracha over wine, we say boi pri hagofen, because at the end of a grammar tells us to make it to the gofen. In fact, the svarim actually don't change it, at least some svarim, they make boi pri hagefen. Aye, so what do they do? How could they geffen? What about the grammar rule? So Avadi Yosef has an interesting tshuva. I think in one of his agadas he quotes here. He says, no, since we have a concept, Gado ha'one amen, so when you're answering amen, that's really the end, so it's not really the end, so therefore you can say geffen. But whatever the reason is, some svarim still say geffen, but we know we go with Boer Pia Goffen. And that's what the Rav says. It depends on this issue. If it becomes part and parcel of the Nusach HaTfilah, so you're reading it together, it's one big flow, so gefen. But if you're reading it, it's a separate, independent, with plugging in the Tzchi of Haskara in the middle, but it's its own independent line. So Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGashem. So it's interesting, everyone quotes in yeshivas that the Rav Shita was Mashiv Aruach Morid HaGashem. I'm not saying it's not. But in the Shtikl Torah, where he's writing, as he's saying, he wrote it for Talmud Torah, but based on his shtickle, he claims in the shtickle that I'm reading, the Hari Kedem, that he holds it's just the chi of Haskara, and based on his alumnus, the Rav would come out that you should say Morid HaGashem. So I'm not here to reconcile the Rav for many reasons, but interesting, in the Hari Kedem itself, and it's a very interesting introduction to the Sefer, he writes, I haven't seen it in a while ago, but I think he said something along these lines that you might notice different shtickles might have, they might contradict with one another. But he says, I'm just quoting what the Rav said that day in Shir. In other words, the Rav many times would go ahead, let's say, whether it was 6 months later, next week, the day after, he'd come and change, like he felt one way. And then, you know, when they learned brachas 5 years later, forget about what I said 5 years ago. So that's the way the Rav learned. The Rav always learned from fresh. He didn't go for the freezer. He didn't go back to his notes. And he used to learn he's learning it for the first time. Then let's go see what's going on. So I'm just saying, based on his introduction, and here, so it's not necessarily Akasha, you know, and maybe Halacha L'chud and Lamdis L'chud, I don't know yes or no, because the Rav actually passed him based on Lamdis, so who knows. But you know, I'm just pointing that out. Based on the shtickle, which should come out, the Rav should hold Morid HaGashem. Yet they say, I mean, I've never heard the Rav, but people quote the Rav as saying, so I'm not saying they're wrong, maybe he passed in one way, he had a different shtickle. But that's what he writes, it would depend on this issue, Mashiv Aruach, or Morid HaGeshem, that's why, and he wants to bring another raya for this shita. He says, and it's Yerushalmi, I think Tosis and Tainis also quotes this, that we know the halakha is, that if you forget V'sein Tal Matar in Baruch Aleinu, you can make it up in Shomei Tefillah. That's the way we paskin. But if you forget Mashiv Aruach, so number one, so let's say it depends when you remember. So actually he discusses in that shtickle, let's say, so if you remember in the bracha Machayeh Mesim, of course you could just plug it in. Let's say you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Machayeh HaMesim, and you didn't start the next bracha yet, Atah. So what about inserting so he quotes a machokas, we've shown him a machokas among the achronim. He says, what's the nakuda? If Mashiv Aruach is part and parcel of the bracha, so the bracha is over, I can't just say, okay, Mashiv Aruach, I have to go back. But if this is a chi of haskara, which he's claiming it is, so therefore he says, we can just insert Mashiv Aruach, Amor HaGashem, right afterwards, because it's just a chi of haskara. Then he points out, there's a shita that we don't paskin like that. We paskin, if you forget my Shiva Ruach, I say you started at Tal Kadosh. You have to go back to the beginning. But the Yerushalmi quotes, one can make a Mashiva Ruach Morda Goshem, you could plug it into Shema Koleno. So we're saying, what's the Psha? What's the Lumdis of that? We don't paskin like that Shita, but what's the Lumdis? How could you, Bishlom was saying Talo Matar, it's in the Bakosha section, it's the Bakosha, and then you're putting in, but how, what's the logic of that Shita of Mashiva Ruach making it up, once a Shevach, once a Bakosha? Therefore he points out that this is a special type of Shevach. It's kind of like a quasi-Shevach, it's like a Ritzai on the Mayim. We're kind of asking for water now, but we're not really asking. And therefore, he says it's a big Chiddush, he says, that we insert Mashiva Ruach Gashem in the Shevach section. Because, number one, because we know that if we're saying it's a Bakasha, so how can we get it into the Shevach section? So that's what they ask. They also ask that question about during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, that we have different inserts. Zachreidu L'chayim Michamoch. In fact, some Rishonim say you can't. They don't belong in there. And others, you know, we pass and we do. But they point out, so what? How can we have Bakashas in the Shevach section? So differently, I think, to some quote that's the biggest type of Shevach. When you realize ultimately everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's saying everything, the rain and whatever, our life during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, that's kind of like the Esam Bakasha is like a Shevach, kind of like the Vilna Gaon was saying, why we have Mashiv HaRuach in the Chaya Mason, because even the philosophers recognized that rain wasn't Derech HaTeva, like the sun, the moon, it was something more than that, therefore it's Nicker that there's a God, and therefore they put it in the Mechai HaMesim. But the Rav is a whole shtickle, and all these things depend on it. Could you say Mashiv HaRuach right after Mechai HaMesim? Could you make it up in Shema Koleinu? Do you say Mashiv HaRuach Amorin HaGashim? It's based on that Rabbi Elezer with Lulav, that he says we hold, he says in this shtickle anyway, it's a Chiyav Haskara of Ritz HaMayim, and it's not part and parcel of the Shemon Esrei. You know, we'll see.
So you can do it after Mechai HaMesim?
Yeah, so according to...
Because it's still in the area.
Right, kind of. We'll see next week, similar to what we'll say by Ritzalo Mato, if you're Mavarach Hashanim. But right, that's what he says. It's some of.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, if the argument is with Haskar, they after
Kel Kadosh. No, it's a general, right, no, it's a good general question. Why can't you, like, by the other brachas, like, you always get to go back to that section? Right. Here, even though Atakadis is only the third, it's still in the same section. That's nothing to do with the Rav Shtickle. That's just a general kasha.
But after Mechai Yemesim, we don't start at the Kaddish.
So he says it depends on that Shaila, but everyone agrees right. That once you say Atak Kaddish, it's over.
That's what I'm wondering. Why if you open a Skara, why not say Atak Kaddish? I mean, if it's a Skara and you're able to say it somewhere else,
actually, it's a good kasha. I had the same kasha. I haven't found the satisfactory. I was always wondering. It's still why we so makbid before. Especially we always go back by section. So why not just go? You know. And so once you finish the third brach, I know why you have to go back to the beginning. But I have to see if I can.
Especially the point that she knows, you say shmakolim. For sure
saved. Yeah, I'm saying it.
But even now, it's still the
Shevach. Right, I agree. And yet, no one, and that the postgame all seems to, everyone says you have to go back if you forget it.
Maybe because of what you began this year with, that it's
Chiyas Amesim. Yes, I'm just saying,
grammatically, it only fits there.
Right, but then that doesn't fit in with the Chiyas. Right, that's saying if it's part of the Tofes HaBracha, I can't say Machal Kuchayim Bechesed in the Bracha of Atah Kadosh. So that only works if it's. If it's part of, but you know, unless you want to, we'll have to say, I mean, it's something in between, like it's a Chi of Haskara, right. But because it's a special Kesher, so some reason Chazal said, even though it's not normally we do the same section, but the uniqueness of Mayim, we're going to have this, you know, you have to say, it's going to be something along those lines, because the bottom line is it's still in the Shevach section, and yet we say it's no good, so it's somewhere in between, you know. Combining and kind of like the Rav saying by Shema Koleinu, it's a form of a Bakasha, and maybe they'll Chiddush because it's not a classic Chiyav Haskara of Shevach. It's a Chiyav Haskara of Shevach, But this is not the classical one, right? You can do it in Shema Kolenu. Not we don't, but you can, according to Yerushalmi. There's something special where the bakasha specifically has to be with Tchiyas HaMeisim, because that's what it, you know, that's what it's connected to. That's the, it's the whole chiddush that we could put it in the first place. We'll have to say, you know, along those lines. But just to summarize, so we started off saying that really Yitzchak was not the first one to daven mincha. It was really Adam HaRishon, and Adam created rain after, so someone think of me, so they could so someone could appreciate the rain if someone to pray for it. That's what we pointed out from the Rav Tzadok, that the whole siach, we learned out Yitzchak's tefillah of siach asuach basadeh, called siach hasadeh, the pasuk in Bereishis. The Zohar, they learn out there's a connection between mincha. Mincha is always a special, unique tefillah. Eliyahu was accepted at our Aneni Hashem Aneni. Either we said very pragmatic reasons, it's stuck in the middle of the day, or based on Kabbalah, it's a time of din and you have to more rachem and you have to work harder. And that's what the essence of tefillah is all about. And we said that's why in the Chasiyah Shesvarim, that Yeish comes out, Yeish Shalom Midas, but Yeish comes out to 317. Why did Dafka Avraham have the 318 men, or what is Shun Yuches? Because that's tefillah. Siach HaSadat, tefillah is you never have Yeish. You realize Yeish makes no sense. You always turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where we said Malki Tzedek, he blew it, and he lost his kahuna. And that's where we have to be careful. We make L'chaims. First we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we thank the humans. And we talked about why is Mashiach Ruach in the rain? Because there's three things that will nimsru l'shliach: rain, childbirth, and tchiyas ha-meisim. And the Bali Musa pointed out childbirth is even greater. And then we pointed out the Gra said the rain, at least during his time, signifies it was nicker that there's a God that, because it doesn't make sense. We al tzerach ha-teva, the only other things they could figure out. And then we discussed the differences of Mashiv HaRuach and Tal HaMatar, and one's in the Shevach section, one's in the Bakasha section, and we discussed it, why don't we begin right away? We start saying, why don't we begin right after Yontif? So they say, because you have to wait until the Ola Rego get home, it's 15 days, Nahar Pras. Aye, so why don't we stop 15 days early then, 15 days before Pesach? So some give a practical answer, because going there, everyone going back, everyone's leaving the same time. But going there, some people, not everyone lives in the Har Pras, so but fundamentally what we said, the real reason is because it's this man of rain. So you can't not say it because some people are going to get wet. That time period in between Sukkot and Zayar Macheshvan, it's like no man's land. It's in between. It's not a Simen Kola, but it's not the time of rain. So therefore we have flexibility. So because of Ola Rego, we go ahead and we don't, it's, you know, parenthetically, the Bali Musa always likes saying, kind of like the Kohen Gadol, you pray, you give them cookies, so they don't pray for the Kohen Gadol not to die. It's, the bottom line is, how could it be? Klai Yisrael needs rain, five people don't. The answer is, the people walking in the rain are praying a lot better than the people that, okay, rain. But that, because that's the Kolach HaTzvil, that's a separate discussion. That's what they point out. And therefore, it's a basic ritual. That's why you can make it up according to Yerushalmi in Shema Kolenu, the issue of Morid HaGeshem, Morid HaGoshem, the issue of Mechai HaMesim, before I talk, and you place in all these things are totally in the Chiyav Askara. So we'll continue next week on some more Mashiv HaRuach and Talo Matur in Yonam.
That was my daughter. Blocked. Yeah.